72. Zila flipped through Veek's printouts and found a new schematic. Her eyes flitted from the picture to the bank of controls. She traced a line across the diagram with her finger, then followed it through the air with her eyes.
I have no idea what I'm doing, she admitted to Clive.
He glanced at her.
Maybe you should have said that before everyone left.
No one else knows anything either, she said. At least I've got a symbol key. There's just so much of this stuff, you know? I get lost before I can figure out anything big. Maybe I can help, said Debbie.
The side of her face was purple where Andrew had smacked her. She walked around to the couch where Mandy still sat in a near-fetal ball.
I know some basic electronics from undergrad courses.
I don't think there's anything basic about this, hon, said Clive.
It's better than nothing, Zila said. I'm not even sure these are the diagrams of the control room. They might have something to do with the generators.
Debbie shook her head.
Too many switches, she said. It's this room.
Zila spread a few diagrams across the arm of the couch.
Wow, Debbie said after a moment. There really is a lot of it.
Yep, said Zila. But I'm sure an artist and a biochemist can figure it out.
The bicyclists went through another shift. This one made everyone seem claustrophobically close, even though the ropes had no slack. Roger didn't deal well with it. The next shift made them all seem miles away. It was like an extreme form of tunnel vision. Nate held his arm out in front of him and his fingernails vanished in the distance. Their hour was almost up when they reached the ridge. Veek looked back and saw the Kavach building. It was a mile or so away. The ridge hadn't looked much higher than the roof, but she looked down on the building from here. She wondered if it was another trick of the world. Nate looked at the crowned tower. From this position, it was clear the tower was beyond the ridge, not on it. The skewed perspectives made it hard to be sure of size, especially since there was nothing around the tower to judge off.
It's not glossy, said Nate. It's kind of hazy.
Yeah, Roger said. What's up with that?
Could be smoke, said Tim as he untied the bikes.
Might just be the lighting, said Veek.
Nate shook his head. If that's it, where's the light coming from? He swung himself off the bicycle and set it on the ground. Tim put a hand on Nate's shoulder and pushed down.
Stay low, he said. If there's something over there, you don't want to be a silhouette against the sky.
They dropped to their hands and knees and shuffled up the last bit of the ridge. Nate felt a small drift of sand gather in his shirt against his stomach. He didn't picture it as sand, but as little squares of coarse glass, the remnants of a very tiny broken windshield. It felt too dry. He wondered if it would start to suck moisture from his skin. He tried not to think about it getting into his pants and reaching his crotch. Their heads came up over the edge. They had a clear view of the tower.
Fuck me, whispered Roger.